Turning now in the Scriptures to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we are reading there in chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. First John chapter 3, reading verses 10 through 12. And first, let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon us as we hear the reading and preaching of His Word. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word, which we know to be living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing not only to the inner parts of our bodies of bone and marrow, but even soul and spirit. And so, Father, we ask that You would do that work now. And do the work of the great surgeon who opens up our hearts, puts our words, Your words, within, and then seals it back up. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 10, these are the words of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That is Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. That is the word of the Lord. So still continuing that distinction between the children of God and those who are children of the devil. And we are to be reminded, must be reminded now that you are either, again, remind yourself of this, that you are either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. There is no in-between state. You're either one or the other. Previously it was put positively to us that the one who practices righteousness is born of God. Now it's put in the negative. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. And so, beloved, here once again, we're shown evidence of those who are God's children and evidences of those who are not God's children. So that we might be able to ascertain whether we have salvation, so that we might have assurance of salvation, seeing the evidences of the children of God in us. Of course, if you're not seeing these evidences that we've seen in the first 2.5 now chapters of 1 John, of the gospel promises and faith in those promises, the Spirit testifying with our spirit that we're children of God, and the fruit of practicing righteousness unto God, then you ought to seriously consider that perhaps you are not, after all, a child of God, born of Him. And you need to be born of Him. And so now come in faith and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now, as we've been speaking much of the light and being in the light as Christ is in the light, as He is because He is light, that we are to then practice righteousness also because Christ is righteous. So we ought to be like Him, for He is righteous. And now we move to another main theme in the book of 1 John, and that is love. We are to love because God is love. Jesus is love. And Jesus, following after the Father's nature, being love, He loved even to the point of death on the cross. And so with a new nature comes not only light and righteousness, but also love to the believer, the child of God. So that's the first point. God's children love the brethren. God's children love the brethren. Verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So it's obvious, he says. It isn't hard to tell. It isn't difficult to grasp. That is, this is obvious who is a child of God and who is a child of the devil. And that which is obvious, we have already studied much. You are of your father the devil if you do not practice righteousness. This truth implies another equal and parallel truth, that if you do not practice righteousness, you do not love your neighbor, the second greatest commandment. You do not love the brethren. You do not love. But the opposite, as we've seen, is true. If you do practice righteousness, if you are in the light as Christ is in the light, then it necessarily follows by the Lord's argumentation through John that now you also love. That you love God, that you love your brother, you love the brethren. You may even say that the general evidence of practicing righteousness is now getting a little bit more specific, and now it is reduced to a practical test for you. Love your brother. You may even say that practicing righteousness culminates in the loving of our brothers and sisters in Christ. At least the acts of practicing righteousness here towards those around us. Beloved, do you love the brethren? Do you love your neighbor? Or do you hate those around you? See, true Christians are to be loved for God's and Christ's sake. Those who do not love the brethren, but despise and hate and persecute them, have the serpent's nature, the devil's nature still abiding in them. Because the father, their father, is the serpent, the devil, Satan. And so it is by regeneration of the Holy Spirit that sinners receive the grace of God, adoption into the family of God, so there are children by His sovereign will. They have been justified by faith due to His divine providence, His predestination, which makes that justification and salvation and adoption secure, and also secure in the covenant of grace. And whoever it is that has been regenerated, it has that seed that we heard previously, that seed abiding in them, that is the Spirit in them, practices righteousness, and they love their brother. And how this practicing righteousness culminates in that one thing, which is a fulfillment of the law, which declares to us that what righteousness is, that one thing being love. God's children love the brethren. That's the first point, very general point. The second is our final point. We'll spend most of our time looking at it, about that question of what is love. And really, we will not completely answer that. We'll get more to that in the coming weeks ahead of us, even into chapter 4, as much of that is about love. You can say, see, if you look over at chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So they're still seeing the same language that we're seeing here. And so most definitely we'll get a better definition. But here is somewhat of an introduction. The second point, love, it's not a new message. Love, not a new message. What sort of love is meant here? It is not a one-time love in which it may disappear tomorrow. Verse 11, it says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." What message? Seems clear, perhaps, that it must be the Lord's commandments from the beginning of the Gospel of John. There it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Later in the Gospel, he says, the Lord through John says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." So we know, if we know our scriptures, we can go back further in time to the beginning, not to the beginning of John's gospel, but the gospel, the beginning of the gospel. the real beginning, held in the promises of the Lord after the fall into sin. In verse 12, mentioning Cain and Abel, doesn't that suggest that we go there? It does, surely it does. Isn't it there that the law of God, or we could say the message of love, is in question? God's commandment that we have heard from the beginning is that we should love one another. But the one who does not practice righteousness, and the one therefore who does not love his brother, is not of God, and is born of the devil. He has the devil's nature, like Cain, who hated his brother and did not love him. And there is the first real understanding of the gospel, the first gospel proclamation, the promise from Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. There's the first gospel preached in the promises of God in all of Scripture, promising that the Lord Jesus Christ will crush the head of the devil, Satan. But also there is that promise of enmity and hostility between those who are born of God and those who are not born of God, those who are born of the devil. We read of the interaction between the two, then immediately following that verse, that chapter in chapter 4 of Genesis, in the context that we're reading in 1 John. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruits of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So after the offerings were given, and Yahweh regarded Abel's and not Cain's offering, the two talked with each other. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. The very fact that they were bringing offerings and sacrificing there points to the reality of sin being present. The one was doing it because that's what you are supposed to do. The other, in love with the one who would crush the serpent's head and was his Savior. One who loved his brother, the other who clearly hated his brother. The one who is born of God, the other who is born of the devil, and thus an enmity with the one born of God. The one born of God, the one who practices righteousness and loves the brethren at that time confessed that they needed the atoning blood of the slain lamb. He confessed that through his sacrifice, and he surely confessed it when his brother spoke to him. But if he had confessed no need for it, he too would have been justly rejected by the Lord. He was confessing a need of the blood, atoning blood of the slain lamb. To Cain, and any hearer, we are to make use of the slain lamb who takes away the sin of the world. One who loved their brother in that moment would talk to their brother, as surely Abel did do. And he would have communicated the truth of the need of atoning blood that would save him from his sin. Because that's what one does when they love their brother. They love one another. They tell them the truth. Right? We just read about that in Isaiah. They're honest with them. And we know exactly why Cain killed Abel. Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Remember, It was Jesus who spoke to the Jews and said, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." And that is what it is that provoked those Jews to seek to kill Jesus. There again is the manifestation of the children of God, Jesus, child of God, and the children of the devil, the Jews. Here in 1 John 3, it speaks of the child of God, back in Genesis as well, the child of God, Abel, and the child of the devil, Cain, who is Abel's brother, who Cain killed. And there is Jesus and the Jews who sought to kill him. From Jesus, who is love, was love towards his neighbor, the Jews. And yet they hated him. Just like Abel, who loves his brother Cain, and yet Cain killed him. There is hatred in the children of the devil. Hatred. Deadly hatred of the righteous because of their practicing righteousness. And that hatred is a work of the devil. It's promised from the beginning, Genesis 3:15. What brings out that antagonism and hatred? And we already know it is practicing righteousness. It is speaking the truth. And so if you are to stay quiet as a Christian and don't live righteously and you don't practice righteousness and you don't love, then there will be little to no antagonism in your life. You'll live a comfortable life. The devil certainly will leave you alone if you're being quiet and not practicing righteousness and don't love. What brings out the antagonism, hatred, the enmity, the hostility is practicing righteousness. It is living a life of love, all which show that you're a child of God. It's manifesting the truth that you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God and manifesting that, then you are automatically at enmity and hostility with the children of the devil. The seed of the woman has the seed of the Holy Spirit abiding in them. And that is an enmity with the seed of the devil. And so Abel loves Cain. He loves Cain. And considering the old message, the old commandment, heard from the beginning that we should love one another, what is it based upon? It can't, since the fall, be based upon our working together. For we only are by ourselves participating in our guilt one with another. And so we are criminals. You think of a Western movie and a band of criminals working together. One is killed. And the others just keep going on in their criminality. They don't really care that much. It's just normal life for them. Same with those who are of the devil. But of course, this is in 1 John 3 is not addressed to those who are guilty before God. This message, which is not new, but from the beginning to love one another, it is not to the guilty. It is to those who are God's children. It is not addressed to those who are children of the devil to give them any hope that they can somehow comply with the law of love or to obey the law by loving. For no hope can be had for them if they are children of the devil. It is a message communicating that through redemption alone, with the regeneration which is involved in that redemption, that makes mutual brotherly love among men in its true and deep sense a practical and attainable grace. It is only one who is born of God, who practices righteousness as knowing God to be righteous, who is capable of really loving one another. Only righteous Abel can love even murderous Cain. But Cain, a child of the devil, cannot love righteous Abel. If you're a child of the righteous Father, you can love even those who use you, persecute you, and hate you, your enemies. You can love your enemies. That's what God is showing here. For as His children, you are in nature with the Son and with the Father. And in what is their nature? Their nature is to love their enemies. The Father loves His enemies. The Son loves His enemies who loved you while you were His enemies due to sin in you. And so submitting yourself now to His righteous and sovereign grace, receiving pardon and therefore peace, reconciliation, a new nature and life, all upon the footing of the oneness that we have in the Son. You are now, as His children, being those who are born of Him, altogether for His righteousness and against the world's sin. But what possible brotherhood can there be then between the children of God and the children of the devil? If you're a child of God, are not the children of the devil cut off from you? Are you not forbidden from having them as your brothers? Something you do have towards them is a particular love, in which even now, if we are truly following after the Lord Jesus Christ, you would lay down your life to save their soul. That's what we see in Paul, that he would lay down his life, give up his salvation even, that his brothers would. The Jews would have salvation. This is the same thing we see in Jesus. Jesus laid down His life to save His enemies, us. But we must remember, as we learn, we will learn more about this love that is spoken of here in the coming weeks, that brotherly love is not possible for the one who does not practice righteousness, who does not love, who is of their father, the devil. No matter how good or righteous or nice loving someone may appear to be who is of their father, the devil, practicing righteousness culminating in brotherly love toward another is not possible for them. And the reality is that their frame of mind is very much like Cain, whose deeds were evil, who thus slew his brother, as it says. There is no position, again, in the middle granted here. You are of your father who is God, or you are of your father, the devil. One who loves and practices righteousness, the other is filled with hatred and unrighteousness. There's no middle ground. Now you may think that there is no risk of your being like Cain. It will be long before I murder my brother or sister. But remember what the Lord through John wrote here to the church. Cain slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. But is there no child of God, no godly man or woman that you know the thought of whom or sight of whom or even perhaps hearing their name mentioned troubles you and makes you feel uncomfortable? Many professing Christians I know, including myself, many who pass for serious Christians have those feelings at times. Even times when your brother or sister does a righteous thing and it is something that you fail at and so you have bad feelings towards them. Because they're living godly lives in Christ Jesus. And you fail in that point or that in that area. You feel jealous or some other feeling towards them. You remember the 400 prophets who had the favor of King Ahab and who Ahab had no sort of objection to them. And yet of Micaiah, Ahab said, I hate him, the prophet Micaiah. I hate him for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Is there any like Micaiah who is an eyesore to you? Are there any Abels in the household of God who provoke you in you a kind of Cainish spirit? Something in you disturbs you about them? That is a dangerous symptom to have. We're being warned here, the Lord through John. It's the very same sliver of what was part of Cain's murderous hatred. It may not lead you to slay your brother. Surely you have come up with ways of getting rid of that raging hatred that wells up within you. Where you don't have to now cry out like the Jews did, crucify him, crucify him. Surely you've suppressed that. You may avoid gossip, slander towards them, which is all but slaying them. But are you not basically slaying them virtually through your thoughts? Why would you do so? Because your own works are evil and your brothers are righteous. So do not be deceived. Be very sure that in this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil are manifest. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So here we learn a little of the nature of love. Even some of the symptoms, the remaining sin still in us that show that that old nature that of being the children of the devil still within us, and yet we need to run to Christ, don't we? His righteousness. For that is the new nature that we have upon us. Brotherly love has as the objects of love the children of God, the members of the family of God especially, who have one Father, one Lord, one Spirit, one hope. We love all men with a love of goodness and delight. But what we see here also suggests somewhat of a different or at least additional explanation of love in this passage. And that is often when we think of love, we think of love in reference to the object of love, or who we are loving or who someone is loving. And that we define love based upon the object of love. But here we find, it seems perhaps, that it is more so a focus on the subject of love. The one who does love, and the person loving rather than the person who is loved. That we must say, because love here is based upon whether you're a child of God or not. It is based upon the new nature in God's children. This love is based out of the eternal truth found in the Lord that God is love. And so that is the love that's being spoken of here. Just as God is righteous. And what is the righteousness we're talking about when we say God is righteous? It's the righteousness found in God. What is the light we're talking about when God is light and we're supposed to have that light? It's based, it's defined by God who is light. And that is what we need. That light, that righteousness, and this love that is God's. That is of His nature. And He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that we would not perish, even His enemies, but have everlasting life. The beloved, love is not a new message by any means, but one in which is eternal, found in the Lord and His nature, which we find revealed in the Holy Scriptures, even in the earliest chapters, chapter 3, even chapter 1. We find it in the law of God also. So let us love one another, especially those of the household of faith. Why? Because God is love. And if we are in Him, we have His new nature. His nature, so there is a new evidence. There's a new evidence here given. To have assurance of salvation. Do you love? If you do, you're a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this revealing again of the nature of God, that He is God who is love. We know in our day, in the church, even perhaps within us, the definition of God being love is skewed because it separates part of His nature from another part. And yet they all work together. His love, His righteousness, His holiness and justice, His mercy, His truth. And so, Father, give us a grand idea that helps us grasp at least a little of the nature of God, that we even would have this new nature working within us by Your Spirit, that we'd be able to see it. We'd be able to see it in one another and encourage one another as to the truth of our being children of God. Father, again, we ask that You would give us assurance of salvation. You would help us in the coming weeks to understand more fully what it means that God is love What does it look like as we love? Love the brethren, love one another. Father, we ask that you would reveal this to us. Grant us wisdom and understanding. Grant us light, righteousness, and love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.